because there's something that we're going to cover here that's probably next to evangelism. It's obviously one of my most passionate things in life, and that is to come alongside a younger person or a younger Christian and walk through life with them, or at least walk with them for a period of time. You know, maybe before we get started, I should say, I know that some of you got kicked out of your motel rooms. If you did, and you had 3 days, and they gave you 2 at the last minute, talk to us. We're working with some motels right now. I know some other ones that came in today that didn't have a motel, thought they would be able to come here and get one. We will help you as well. All right? So there's the passionate cry of Joe Keim is to come alongside young people, and I want to do that. Now, we have in your hands, you should have a copy of something I put together, and it's fill in the blanks if you want to. If not, you don't have to, but the answer is right there on your screen. There is an assumption that going to church is all a person needs. How many of you agree with that? All a person needs is just to go to church, and that's enough, huh? There's an assumption that I'm saying most of us Christians assume it's enough to show up, sit through a service, and that's all you need for the week. You know what? Something happened last year in 2013, or what was it, 14. A 50-year-old lady came into my office just broken, and she said something that just really opened my eyes to this idea even more. She said, I have been in church all my life, from the day I was born until now. I'm 50 years old. I have been in church, and I still don't know really who God is. Isn't that sad? But you know what is even sadder? Our churches are loaded with people that don't really know what they believe. They go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they end up one day 50 years old. In this case, Laura said, I don't care what it takes. I said, would you go to Bible college? She says, absolutely. You know what? She is in Colorado going to Bible school. Age 50. Had no money, was living in a little shack without heat, without electricity, but God made a way for this woman to drive to Colorado and go to school. Now, number two, the church community typically focuses on making converts rather than disciples. I want to read a scripture that is very familiar with all of us. I believe it's in your book. It's in Matthew 28. It starts out with, in verse number 19, it says, go you therefore and teach all nations. When we look at that, church people, we look at the very first word and we say, see the command there? It says to go. And we're doing that. I believe we're doing that. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn how we can do better at going. And then it goes on in verse number 20. It says, teaching, discipling them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, what's the difference between converts and disciples? Let me put it in this perspective. What if you and your spouse had a little baby last night, and you said, we've done our job? And you drop that little baby and walk away and said, now it's up to her or him to make it in life. How far do you think that little baby would get? Not very far at all. That little baby needs a father and a mother to take her through the process of growing and maturing. It's no different in the spiritual life. When we lead someone to Christ, when you lead someone to Christ, you immediately become responsible for that little baby. It is your responsibility. That's the difference between being so focused on converts, and we get so excited. Another soul came to Jesus, and everybody says, amen, and we go home and we forget all about them because now we've done our job. And what we don't realize is that it's only begun. Man, if I could get in every church in America, this would be the message that I would preach over and over and over and over. And we'll just keep going. Every 2, I'm going to tell you, these are all young people that my wife and I are discipling and working with even now. This is Mary. Mary lives with us. Mary came in from Missouri. She was one of 7 that came to our home in 2014. She's still there. She's just got her driver's license, I think, 2 weeks ago. And one of the things that they have to do if they live with us is once a week they have to meet with Esther and I for 1 hour, and we talk about life. We talk about anything under the sun. Well, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hard for these young people to make that hour in their life. And so about a month went by, and we didn't meet. And one day I said, Mary, you have to make a choice today. I said, either we meet or you move on, because this is a ministry that you came to. And it ended up, she was crying, we were crying, we hugged each other. She came back, she says, I need this help. And so her boyfriend, who she'd been seeing, said, he didn't say, I won't ever join you, but he's like a mile away. He doesn't want to come too close. And yet we keep trying and working. And the last 4 weeks, they have both been coming. We sit there every Saturday morning, every Saturday. The only time it suited them to meet was 7 a.m. in the morning. Now, we're like you guys. You know, on Saturday, you kind of want to say, this is one morning we're going to sleep in, because we always get up at 5:30 in the morning. But this morning, we didn't want to get up at 7, but we said whatever it takes, we will meet. And so that's the young couple that we meet with. Okay, so 3, there is an attempt to develop teachers rather than disciplers. Now, do you agree with me that teaching is a gift? It's a spiritual gift. Okay, does everybody have the gift of teaching? So why do we work so hard to make teachers out of everybody? It's almost as if you don't have the gift of teaching, then you can't really do anything in ministry. Well, teaching is not the same as discipling. Everybody's a discipler, but not everybody is a teacher. You cannot put the two together. I know some disciplers that are much better at discipling than most teachers are. Seriously. Because of experiences in life, because of how things, the cards that were dealt to them throughout life, they just automatically become mentors and disciplers. And so it's not a gift. And that is why when we look at Matthew chapter 28, it doesn't just say teachers are to go and teach. It says that all are to go. It doesn't leave anyone out. 4. The practice of mentoring and discipleship is not being modeled by many older Christians. Oh, older Christian, you come in the back door and you sit in the pew and you think your work is done. Your work is not done. Your work has just begun. We only get one shot in life. And most of the time, it's not until we're at the end of life that we finally get. I'm just now realizing that how important it is that I pass the torch on. I just now am starting to realize how thankful I am that for 2,000 years, generations have been passing on the torch, and they didn't drop the ball when it came to my generation. And all of a sudden, it's my generation. I have the torch. I have to keep passing it on. You know, when I was young, I didn't think about that. But now that I'm older, I'm thinking, wow, are we going to drop the ball, church? Have we dropped the ball? What are our young people doing? How important is it for the older people to keep passing it on? And I say this, it is so important. Look at the scripture in Titus 2. This is talking to the aged women, okay? Talking about the older women. It says in 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Oh, older women, you have so much to offer. You have so much to offer to the younger women. It's okay to look around in the church and find a younger one and sit by them and love on them and be there and walk through life with them. It's okay to do that. This is another young lady. This young lady just moved in our home about 3 weeks ago. She doesn't have anything in her name except that we just now got her a job. But here again, we're meeting with her. And as all the other ones that have lived with us over the years, I mentioned earlier, about 150 of them have lived with us, and she, too, is required to meet with us every week. Number five, our churches are filled with people that do not really know what they believe. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first or basic principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. That's where we're at. We're on the bottle. Many of us are on the bottle. Nobody wants to serve anymore. That's what the pastor gets paid for. It's not my job. We come up with 1,000 different reasons why it's not my job. You know, another one is, I didn't go to college. I don't have a Bible education. That's what the pastors are for. Let me tell you, sometimes education gets in the way of mentoring and discipling. Sometimes the average, for me anyways, I was the average Joe off the farm. I just needed somebody. I didn't care anything about how many certificates they had hanging on the wall. I just needed to know that somebody cared for me right where I was at in life. And that's what Jerry and Carol Guest did for us. They loved us and they taught us unconditional love. Number six, every Christian must look on himself as a link between two generations. Not only has he received the faith, but he must pass it on. A few years ago, Jerry Guest came to me. He's been the head of the board for a couple years and has been on the board from day one. 15 years he's served on the MAP board. And he said, Joe, I've been thinking one of these days you're going to die. And when you do, we're going to have somebody in your place. I hadn't even thought about it. You know, I was young and thinking about all the things I wanted to accomplish in life. And all of a sudden, somebody stops me in the middle of all of this and says, you're going to die. I hadn't thought about that. In my mind, I was going to be around for a long, long time. But then I began to think. How long does it take to train somebody? How long does it take? Do you know ministries that men or women were called to start this organization, this ministry, and then one day they died and there was nobody there to take it on? What happens to those ministries? What about the pastor that's getting older? What about the pastor that has older leadership in the ministry? Is he preparing and looking forward? Look beyond 10, 20 years from now. The next generation that will take over where we're at. It's so important that we look ahead and beyond the just now. We are the link. This is another young couple that I meet with every week. Rachel came from, I think it was North Carolina. Rachel came from North Carolina back in May of 2013, lived with us, just recently moved out because she had gotten a job. We got her driver's license, she bought a car, and she moved on. But she found a boyfriend, Enos, who is such a wonderful, wonderful young man. And at the end of last year, I came to them and I said, I'm going to make a commitment to you guys. Will you make a commitment to me that we will walk together in 2015? You know, today, she was one of the girls back there. I love these girls. Like, they're our own kids. Rachel just came running and hugged me, and she says, man, I wanted to be here so bad this afternoon. In fact, I had to ask all these to come and just let you see them and maybe talk and say a few words, but none of them could get themselves to come up here and speak. And that's okay. I was not going to push them at all. But I love this couple beyond words. They are serious about Christianity. And one of the first things they said was, we want to know how to date. What is the scriptural way of dating? Here's number seven. There is a difference between mentoring and discipling someone. I know this is something that I struggled with for many years. Is there a difference is the question. And the answer is yes and no. Both are concerned with growth. Both are concerned with development. Both involve personal relationship between a more experienced guide and a less experienced follower, but they are not the same. Mentoring is not the same as discipling. How is mentoring different? Well, mentoring, listen to me, is more focused on the physical. Okay, mentoring is coming alongside of a young man or a young woman that may not have gotten the training at home like they should have. Maybe they didn't brush their teeth ever in their home. Well, you have the opportunity to sit down with them. And I've had to do this. And I've had to say, I know when you were Amish, you took a bath once a week. But you're not Amish anymore. Yeah, now that you're English, I've had to take 18, 19, 20-year-old men aside and sit down and talk to them like little boys because they weren't taught at home. That's mentoring. A mentor will come alongside and say, I know you can do it. Where's Samuel? Samuel, I tell you, Polly, guarantee you Samuel didn't sleep for like 2 weeks. Is that right? Because he had to speak. He called me up. He says, man, Joe, I don't think I can do this. And then he called me up. I think I can do 2 sessions. And then he called me up. Man, this is just... And then he called me up. Here's a picture of me and my audience. And his 2 children were there. And he had his books stacked up on Pampers and everything else. I don't know what all books. And there he was talking and he was practicing. Didn't he do a wonderful job? I thought he was better than Jonas and me. But you know what? I said, Samuel, I have no doubt in my mind you will do it. Because if you make any mistakes, people are going to notice the passion coming out of you. And they're going to overlook all your mistakes. And he came up here. He had us laughing. He had us crying. Seriously, it was unbelievable. He did such a wonderful job. But that's a mentor. I love being a mentor. I love coming alongside and believing in people and believing that they can go further. Now, what's discipleship? How's that different from mentoring? Well, discipleship focuses on obedience to Jesus Christ. Discipleship is taking the ABC book and a few other books that we have out there and sitting down and teaching them the Word of God. All right, we've taken 200 through this book. It's my favorite book of all. You know why? Because it's loaded with scriptures. It's almost all scriptures. And it starts out with A, it goes all the way through to Z. It deals with everything that you can imagine. Pick one up, take it home, and use it. I loved to sit down and disciple. We have several young people that are dating, and they want to know what's the right way to go about doing it. And we look into the scriptures. And we look at the importance of doing it according to God's design. Here's a young couple. Not so young. Henry, former Amish, 4th of July in 2013, came by, tapped me on the shoulder, and he says, Joe, I want to get married. And mark this date down, March the 29th, 2015. I said, you got it, Henry. I'll do it. But you have to go through 6 weeks of premarital counseling. We just finished 6 weeks of premarital counseling. On Sunday afternoon of all days, I'm keeping my commitment. I said, we put it on the calendar. I don't care how tired I am. We're going to have a wedding. And we are right back here next Sunday afternoon. Those two lovebirds are getting married. I love, they're like, our time is, you know, it's over now. Is there more that we can get together? When Pam entered the scene, she was a very, very hurt person. Her dad and mom were Christians, forced her to go to church. She rebelled against church. You know what? They're all coming to church almost every Sunday. At what point in a person's life does the process of mentoring and discipleship begin? Well, the answer is found in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. What I'd love to take another 30 minutes to say, tell you that a child will grow up to about a certain point, and God designed for that child to pull away from mom and dad. If you have been parents and you've gone through that stage, you know what it was like. Mom and dad holding back. The child saying, you've had your turn. Now it's my turn to figure out who I am in life. You know when that happens? You have to let him go. Mom and dad, you have to let him go. I recently, just close to here, a man says, I told my daughters, he's got like 6 of them, that they can live under my roof for the rest of their lives. I will be their daddy and I will protect them and take care of them. And that world out there is evil. And he says, we don't go to any church. We don't go to any functions. It's just us. I said, that's wrong. That's not God's design. You got to let your, that's abuse. You have to let your children go. But when that happens, that's when the church comes into play. That's when you and I, who didn't have any part in this child's life, come alongside, I'll take you from here. Seriously, I have mentors in my, both my son and my daughter, that have nothing to do with me. They are mentoring and discipling my adult children. Now, a parent has about 16 years, plus or minus, to get it right. I will share this, and then my mentor is going to come up and take the last 15 minutes to share how he's mentoring me. Because every person that is mentoring someone needs also a mentor in their life. Now, you know, I've told you about my pastor. Everything I know, I learned from him. But you know, sometimes mentors come and go, and there's certain times they're there and here and not always there. In this case, Mark has been with me for a few years. He's going to come up and share. But I want to tell you about this young couple. They were Amish when they first came to me, and they said, we want to be discipled. And it ended up that I did their wedding, and I tell you, it was an amazing wedding. It was, I wish I had the time to actually go into it. But just recently, like we do, after 6 months of being married, we call them and we say, hey, let's go out. We'll take you to a famous restaurant. Esther and I will. We did. We sat down and we said, tell us all about that happened in the last 6 months. It was one of the best evenings. We had an awesome evening. They were here last night. They're coming tomorrow. Most of these young people will be here tomorrow. They were working all week, can't be here, but tomorrow they'll be here. And so there you have the passion of my life. And Mark, you got 15 minutes. I want you to come up. There's still a lot more in there about discipling. There's one section all the way in the back on page number 7, understanding the former Amish and why they think the way they do. Why they think the way they do. If you have former Amish coming to you, this is my next book that I'm working on putting together. By next year, it'll be twice, three or four times as thick as this. But studying the former Amish and how they think. If you have them in your churches, read that, please. And now, Mark, thank you. You can tell how we met. I don't know what you're going to say. I know you're going to shoot from the hip, and it doesn't even matter. But I love this guy. And you know what? It took me a while. You know, he's taller than I am. He's a businessman. But you know what? He accepts me just the way I am. I can talk about anything, and he will sit there and say, okay, that's okay, right? Talk, Mark. Tell us what's on your heart.
I'm following LeBron James here with Joey, so you're not going to get an elegant speaker here, but you're going to hear someone that's speaking from the heart. And I really do believe mentorship is something us Christians need to take serious. Joey and I have known each other for a long time. We're both tool and die makers by trade. But a few years ago, I just felt the Lord just nudge in my heart to ask Joey to meet on a regular basis. We had talked and we knew each other as Christians pretty well, but I just felt the Lord just tugging at my heart that pastors, we ask so much out of them, and at times we expect them to be supermen and superheroes, and I just felt the need to reach out to Joey. And I told Joey, I said, I want this to be all about you. I don't want you to ask me a lot of questions. I really want to just hear about you, and I'd really like to just build a friendship up with you that month by month we would meet, and you can just tell me what's on your heart, and, as you feel the trust being built, you can share more, and we have. It's become a mentorship that's both two-way. What I thought the Lord was doing to reach out, for me to reach out to him, I found that it's a two-way street. So he's as much of a mentor to me that I am to him. But, we've talked about some really deep things. And I'd like to talk just to the men for a moment, although you ladies can hear me too. But, us men are wired to a point that we don't like to talk about feelings. We don't really like to talk about deep stuff. We're really good at talking about the weather and, fishing and hunting and, things that at times really are meaningless. But to really have a deep conversation about what's going on in our life, the sin that we might have in our life. And I don't know if anybody's told you, but we're all sinners, including our pastors. So I hope I didn't awaken anyone too much, but you know, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And Satan just loves us to poke at us with that sin. But when you can actually have a friend or two that you can have a relationship with, that you can tell your deepest sins to, and you can help encourage that person to help drive that sin out of your life, guess what? It's not that difficult. And you can encourage each other and inspire each other to live the godly lives that that he wants you to be. So mentorship to me is something that we really need to take seriously. And like Joey was saying, we really need to find people that we can mentor, but we also have to look on the other side of that. Who's mentoring us? And if we're not being mentored, it's also our responsibility to seek out someone to help mentor us. And I have a series of guys that are mentoring me, some guys that are part of my small group, as well as some pastors that have come alongside of me and have really taken a big part of my life. I don't know if you guys, has anybody seen the movie series, The Band of Brothers? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. The Band of Brothers is a movie series on the 101 Infantry, Airborne Infantry, that fought in World War II. And these were a band of brothers that trained together and fought together in World War II. In fact, they were dropped into places. They were actually dropped with a parachute behind enemy lines, and they were getting shot at as they were coming down. And the way that they survived was not on their own, but they built a trust up in each other that was so much of a bond that they knew they had each other's backs. And when they were in a situation that was on the front lines and one would get wounded, there'd be two of them that would turn around and grab that person that was wounded and pull them to safety. And I see in our spiritual lives, in the spiritual warfare that we're fighting every day, and we are in a war, that we can be that band of brothers and sisters to each other. And when at times in the church we have situations where someone is wounded, and unfortunately the church at times decides to shoot those wounded, and that sin is just too much for them. Because you know why? It's because it brings out the sin that we also have in our lives that we're trying to hide and mask. So what I'm asking is that when you see situations like that, that you shine Jesus' grace on that sin, and help that person. Don't judge them. That's not for us to judge. But it is for us to be Jesus to them and to show God's love and grace. You know, if you look at Jesus as the example, he had a close knit of people that followed him. I don't know the exact number, but I think it was around 70 that were really close to Jesus. And of those 70, there was 12 disciples that were even closer. And of the 12 disciples, there was three of them that we know that were even closer to Jesus. So if we use that as an example of how we live our lives, we should look at the people that he has in our circle of influence and be that mentor to each person. And I'm not saying to go out and just randomly pick 70 people and then, you know, pull them in and, you know, pick 12 out of that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is to pray diligently for God to reveal to you who he would want you to mentor and also who he would want to mentor you. And then I'd ask you to be strong and courageous. It's not going to be comfortable. It's hard to trust. And it's kind of like peeling an onion. And those of you who have peeled an onion, you start on the outside and you know, it's not so bad when you start peeling it. But as you get towards the center, it gets really stinky. But it's taking one layer at a time. It's not going right towards the core, but it's taking one layer at a time and building that friendship, building that communication up, that trust level, but getting to a point that you can truly love and respect that person and get to the real core value. Get to the real core of the situation. Because it's when we do, there's such a relief that, hey, I'm not alone, you know, and I can trust someone else with this. They can help encourage me and walk with me through this. And it's through those times that then God can really use you. So as you close the day, I know it's really tired. You're really tired and it's been a long day. But what I'd ask you, of you is for you to take this next week or two and diligently pray of where God wants you to be in this mentorship. Take the notes back. There's lots of information in here that you can read and learn more about this within the next week or two. Commit to at least finding one person to mentor. Maybe it's more. But pray to God on who that person is, and then be strong and courageous and do it. And I think next year, this conference will be so much different if you would really seriously take this mentorship and discipleship seriously. And just watch what God does. It'll be a beautiful thing. Thank you.